Hi everybody, and welcome to the get your ass over to the TLS workshop. The point of this workshop is pretty much if you have any kind of problems to get TLS deployed in your infrastructure, I'm going to try and help you out the best I can. First, I'm going to go through the different kind of methods to get practically Let's Encrypt certificates. Acquiring the certificates and give some like a configuration tips and go through some kind of common pitfalls and things to take into account when using like a certain ways of automating this stuff. So first, the domain validation methods provided by ACME. You most likely are somewhat you most likely know about these already. So I'll just go through them pretty quickly. So first one is HTTP validation, which pretty much practically means you just deploy a TXT file in your web root that the CA will, well, the CA will first resolve your AAAA record or A record and connect to that IP address and with the virtual host that you are requesting the certificate for, and tries to find the TXT file containing the validation token to be sure that you are actually controlling the domain in question. The next one is TLS SNI, which is practically deploying a self-signed certificate with a validation token in an invalid, like a virtual host. The process goes the same way. The CA will first resolve your IP address and connect to it, and read the certificate and try to find the validation token from it. So, hence validating your ownership of the domain. The last one that Let's Encrypt supports or via ACME is DNS validation, which is pretty much just like deploying the TXT record to your DNS zone with like a magic subdomain /acme-challenge.youractualdomain.tld, your TLD. So, first about HTTP validation. I went through these things already, so these are the like the main things that you should use the HTTP validation usually. The clients, Let's Encrypt clients, usually help you to make the decision what you are actually, what do you need to get the thing done in a way. But if you're doing automation in like some kind of deployments in environments that require like a Ansible scripts or whatever, like throwing stuff around while creating the environment, so this is pretty robust because it's super simple. The ACME protocol itself, it speaks JSON over HTTPS with all the messages signed by the account that you create first in via the similar REST API. So it does not go without problems, of course. Things to note: Let's Encrypt prefers IPv6, so this is really common problem people are facing when your like a developer's computer does not speak IPv6. They don't like recognize that it has a broken AAA record in the zone because they never like try to use the IPv6 themselves. And this has caused like a lot of confusion because people are just not getting why the validation fails every time, even though they have the actual validation file in the right place and accessible from public internet. So that's a really common problem. Let's Encrypt switch to preferring IPv6, I think, maybe half a year ago. No, not that much, 3 months maybe. But so it has like resulted in people like having renewal like configurations that they had like working certificates and a working validation process prior to the change. And when the Let's Encrypt started to prepare IPv6 addresses, they just found themselves with broken renewal and didn't know why. Next one is pretty like a no-brainer as well. You need to have the right access in your box to the actual like file system directory to create the TXT file. And but this is because this is usually done by the clients. Some error out in like a sane way, telling there's no permissions, and some like fail less gracefully, let's say. And the last one is HTTPD configuration weirdnesses. There's a lot, many HTTPD configurations are like a pretty complex and can get pretty complex over the years in a way. There's a common problem like server having like a virtual host block, for example, for the domain you are actually serving, but at the same time it actually uses the default vhost add the required stuff to the virtual host file for the domain you are trying to acquire the certificate for, but the server just serves the default vhost anyway. So TLSSNI, the next validation method, it requires a web server on port 443, and it needs to be accessible, right? You will have to, or the client will have to create your private key and certificate, and create the self-signed certificate with the validation token that the web server, after it of course needs to restart your web server in most cases to the new configuration, the validation configuration to get active. And it's invalid like a vhost that the CA will connect to, invalid vhost that the CA will use as a host header when requesting SNI header to request your validation self-signed certificate. So and it's somewhat complicated for like a manual operation or a simple automation. So it's really good method actually for the validation, because if it errors out, you most likely have some you have identified some kind of other problem. For example, firewall blocking the port 443, which would like result in broken configuration later on anyway. So you pretty much, when you use it, you will you will be sure that the HTTPS will be working for your vhost. Common problems. Same thing, broken AAA record still applies to this one, because the method is for the connection, the method is the same as HTTP. Firewall configuration, it's pretty like often the case as well. People have like been running HTTP only site for years and have blocked pretty much everything else. And when they figure out they want to start serving HTTPS, they just forget to open the port, so it causes some confusion as well. Then there's the DNS validation. It's a TXT record in your magic subdomain that's shown here. And this is really versatile because you don't have to have like ports open to your client or your server where you are requesting the certificate for. So it pretty much requires some kind of DNS server with an API that you can use for automation. It's good for complex environments because of the removing of the requirements of having the ports open and for example load balancers that are like there are a lot of machines behind the load balancer and HTTP or TLS SNI challenges would be like thrown to a random box behind the load balancer, so the validation will fail like most of the time that way. And it's also going to be the requirement for the wildcard certificates that Let's Encrypt is starting to ship in January next year, in a half year. So the problems are, no API, so you can't automate it, pretty much. But the second one is the more like a serious one, because handle the automation in the same way, you will have to store the API credentials on your box. And that usually results to your DNS credentials to be all around like your infrastructure. And compromising one box would result in a complete loss of your whole zone, which is pretty bad because the malicious user could or would most likely change the MX records and get all your mail as well, for example. I'll go through the solutions later, but there are some pretty good integrations. Caddy, the most notable one, it's HTTPS per default, has super simple configuration. So not much technical knowledge needed in a way. Then there's this upcoming project called Apache ModMD that will automate it in a sense as well. You will have to add a configuration parameter to your vhost configuration for it to work and so on. But it will handle the a renewal and everything like that automatically. Behind the scenes, it's going to be good. It's still not production ready, but it's it's progressing quite fast, so it will be eventually. And that's the actual that's the actual direction we want to head to. We want to have because the HTTPD in case of web serving web. The HTTPD has all the keys for the actual domain validation using ACME methods. So there's no reason for the HTTPDs to not to do it. But we're still in transition phase in a way, and we need other clients to do the certificate acquirance still. But that's the way we want to head to. There are some kind of problems with HTTPD integrations, of course, because many, for example, Apache and Nginx, they are working on a per event basis in a way. So when a request comes in, the server notices that a certificate has expired, so I should renew it now. The client is still waiting. And if the renewal fails, I don't know what, but that's the problem. It's not proactively looking into the, they are not proactively looking into certificates and seeing if they can do this in advance in a way. So there's a lot of Let's Encrypt clients all around, I listed a few. ACME SH is a client that's written in Bash, has really low dependencies, so it's pretty convenient to use in deployments. CertBot, that's a project I'm contributing to myself. It's a Let's Encrypt client by EFF. In addition to actually getting the certificate, if you want, it will configure your HTTPD currently, mail servers in the future for you. The point here is that it tries to remove the a requirement of strong knowledge of TLS for anyone just like jumping in. The problem with a manual configuration for users that are not familiar with all the options and all the pitfalls is searching for HTTPD configuration for TLS and ending up to a Stack Overflow page from 2011 and getting a configuration in that's vulnerable to Poodle attack or whatever. So a broken cipher configurations, whatever. So in that sense, the automatic configuration is good if you do not know what to do, pretty much. There's Acme Sharp. I include it because it's one of the more popular Windows clients. The others, I think Lego. Oh, sorry, I skipped Lego. It's a really nice client written in Go. It has a pre-built binaries for many platforms. It supports Windows as well, I think. And then there's Acme Sharp, which is one of the more popular Windows clients. And there's a list of the clients. There's a lot. There's a lot of integrations. There's a lot of libraries written in Lego, for example. It's not only a client. It's also a library that will handle the you can use in your whatever implementations to actually automate the certificate stuff or TLS stuff. There's great pages by Mozilla about the configuration, and the first one is focused more on the actual configuration. The second one is focused on the a decent cipher suit configurations and so on. So check those out. And some things not to forget. Of course, the certificate renewal, that's a no-brainer. You can't just some of the clients do install cron jobs or systemd timers and such, especially when fetched from your operating system package repository. And some don't. There's also some kind of, if you're doing the renewal configuration manually, many of the clients require some kind of make use of some kind of environment variables, and something we have had some problems we have had with CertBot previously, where users making their own cron tab jobs and missing the fact that the cron jobs don't have the environment variables available per in an interactive session in a way. So HSTS, this is this is pretty important, and this is one of the reasons why automatic configuration is pretty good as well. Yeah, it's short for HTTP, strict transport security. It's pretty much just an HTTP header that you add, which tells the user agent, usually a browser in HTTPS, it tells the user agent that you are not allowed to communicate with me, the server, in any other way than HTTPS. So it will force the client to actually make HTTPS requests per default in the future. And it has a configurable cache time that the order is in effect in a way. So these, well, when people are migrating to HTTPS from HTTP, this can actually be a big cause for site breakage, because of course mixed content requests that are in the page can cause some are hard coded in page and for reason or another unaccessible other ways it will create some problems, and it's pretty effective. I wonder if you see it, but it's pretty effective. But if it goes wrong, it can be horribly wrong, which means that you just bricked your site for whatever amounts of time that you actually set the cache like a max age value to, or it has the option. Oh, it's really small. Can you see it? Yeah, if you can. I'm not sure if I can make it bigger, but all the slides are available in the URL in the bottom. So the include subdomains like a directive there. It does what it says. It includes subdomains, and if you just like blindly, you get for example certificate and make the HTTPS configuration for your main domain, and you include like because you're you want to do it right, you include a HSTS header that says include subdomains, and you forgot that your like few other projects are like subdomains to this actual domain, and are running on for a reason or not, or another running like a plain HTTP. The end user first visits your main domain, and after that tries to use your whatever other service that was supposed to talk HTTP actually, it will break. It will, yeah. No, it's 1.0. Yeah, sorry. 1.0.fi, yeah. Oh, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to it, but okay. Yeah, cool. There's also HSTS preload lists, which that's something that you can pretty much tell the browser vendors to include. They include your domain to a preloaded list that doesn't actually need the header anymore. Well, it does, but it's not like a trust on first sight in a way. So lack of HSTS means that you're vulnerable to a downgrade attack. So pretty important. So that's about it. Now the rest of the time, let's talk about what kind of problems are you having in deployment, and try to solve them together. That's the actual content of this workshop. So the slides available at 10.fi/tls-ws. The slides contain all the hyperlinks, so you're able to follow whatever way is needed for your infrastructure. And I'm here to help, and I think the others are here to help each other as well. So let's have a discussion about the problems that the deployments are facing, if any. Hopefully not. Not any, but
All I know is kind of
sorry.
Okay.
let's take the mic so we can get you.
Hey, just a quick question, because all I have is a couple of static websites on my server. Do I still need to have HTTPS or it doesn't matter?
Well, I think, well, you most likely are linking outside from your pages in a way.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So think about the scenario, you are like, you are a subject of a man-in-the-middle attack. And the attacker modifies your URLs from the page to point to malicious sites in a way that maybe actually also look like the actual sites your links are pointed to, could lead to bad things.
Okay, so I should encrypt, right?
Yes, everything.
I will do that. Thanks. Yeah.
So, any other problems? Yeah.
Hi, thanks for your talk. I'm just wondering about sites, projects internally on a company or your side projects or stuff like that that are not exposed to the internet. And we do renewals and certificates through reverse proxy and stuff like that. But is there another way to somehow get new certificates without the primary domain be exposed to the internet?
Okay, so you have a few options. First, I think the simplest one, but also kind of bad, is to terminate the TLS on the Varnish can't do it, but put Nginx or HA proxy in front of the Varnish. Terminate TLS and talk plain text in your internal network, but that's kind of bad. You can make it better by creating using your self-signed certificates with your own root CA in the boxes, so use the HTTPS in internal communication as well. Validation method that would work in that scenario is the DNS. Because it doesn't require the actual access. There are some kind of hacks, of course. You can use HTTP challenge and point the all requests coming to /known/acme/challenge URI. You can all redirect them to one box and copy over the certificate and private key to the other ones, but that's suboptimal, of course. That's one way. Then again, you won't be able to use the Varnish in the front in that case, so because it can't act on the actual traffic, what it does. I'll get you the mic. So,
I guess kind of helps if you're using SNI proxy or something, and now there is this IPv6 preference, so which wasn't there 3 months ago when I tried it. So, if you have hosts that you can connect with IPv6 and maybe do some access listing to allow only Let's Encrypt or whatever, and then you can bypass the actual SNI multiplexer with the on the IPv6 side, and use the SNI multiplexer for only IPv4 or something,
yeah,
or whatever
yeah.
is the scenario. But.
Yeah. Let's do this in a discussion fashion. So, anyone with comments? About the TLS.
So I'd like to know what your recommendations would be for a local certificate authority. If you have, for instance, a company which has lots of internal applications and you would like to encrypt them, and you would have to set up a certificate authority, and the actual machine that you used for all your to generate certificates should be completely isolated and secure from and should never ever get owned, or that would be horrible. So what would your recommendation be on that? Because it's a lot of work, and almost no company allows you gives their IT department, which is usually just one person, or at least they're on the staff. They won't allow you the time to do all the securing and to do it properly. So what are your recommendations there?
Okay, so it's a complicated matter anyway. So you need some expertise to actually execute it. I'm not an expert in this trade. So, but anyway, my recommendations would be if you want really a robust system, use Boulder. That's the Let's Encrypt CA project, and it's all open source, so free and. It's somewhat complicated though. So if you are doing this in a really small scale, there's a much easier and quicker to get running CA software that's in the Let's Encrypt repo as well. I can't remember the name, but it's you can find it from github.com/Let's Encrypt. It's a repo under that account. There's the simpler one. There's these old behemoths. I can't remember the names, but there's this one that's pretty much used in many large companies that's written in Java and But there are options, but I would use the maybe the Boulder, which is the Let's Encrypt CA server code. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, sure. The less we have questions, that means more complete and working TLS configurations you guys have. So
for example, when we have a project where we have a form which sends a lot of privacy data by post method, does HTTPS give us 100% confidence that nobody can sit in the middle between connection server and client and listen in or hear our data which is moving between? I mean, does it give us 100% confidence that we are secure and nobody can use our data?
Yes, if you check yes and no. Of course, with the default configurations, when you don't check, for example, you don't pin the certificates in a way or private keys. So in that case, it could be any certificate that's that has been acquired for that domain you are accessing. So in that in that way, no, you can't. No. But you're able to do the checks. In the software that you're using, so that would.
So you think that Wireshark is not the problem in this case when we are using, for example, when you have a simple website with post form and it's sent by JavaScript, for example, Wireshark is not a problem here, you think?
No.
All right. Thank you.
That's the main reason we actually need the HTTPS for. Yeah. Yeah. there are some really cool stuff coming as a requirements for by CA/browser forum as well. For example, CAA protocol, which is pretty much its DNS record that you can set to your domain that limits the CAs that are authorized to sign a certificate for your domain. You can limit them, for example. If you don't trust some CA or you trust just one, you can add it as a CA header. And all the certificate authorities are required to respect the CAA header starting 7th of September this year, I think. So.
Is the CAA header somehow like signed or something, or can they enforce that, like that there has been that CAA header at some point? Can you kind of prove it retroactively? No,
I don't think
probably
so.
Not. Anyway,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, DNSSEC and stuff like that. So
yeah, but of course you could backdate stuff in that one. So
yeah.
You would need some notary. But
yeah,
thanks.
So cool. I think that concludes the workshop. If we don't have any problem, oh, we have.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, it's on.
Oh, it's on. Just one easy question. When I have an certificate, normally I have it self-assigned. So what is the best and the cheapest way to get it, let's say, signed by some authority outside of my organization?
You have this one private key that you want to create a certificate that's signed by a third party, or you can just create a new one. And
I have a pair of public and private
that you want to use.
It's my one for the server. Yeah?
Yes.
And normally I do self-assign it. And of course, it's not the best way when someone else wants to access my server.
Of course.
He will pop up a screen when he say, okay, it's not secure. So what is the best way not to pay too much for VeriSign or whatever these companies?
Let's encrypt. You can use your own self-created keys by many clients, at least CertBot, I know for sure. But
okay.
You're able to use your self-created.
And how does CertBot bot works? Do they need an authentication from my side?
They do.
How?
Well, we had these different kinds of validation methods. These are the ones that you have to pick one of.
Okay.
Well, the simplest one is, of course, the HTTP validation, which is pretty much just placing a one file in your file system in the web root directory. So most of the clients do stuff like this. They automate it. For example, CertBot, which so you can define CertBot that put this one, use this web root directory for validation, and the one of the things you want to do this for are because Let's Encrypt certificates are valid for 90 days, so it needs needs automation, so it for the renewal cycle. But the renewal configuration, it remembers your preference to use your own key. Normally, what CertBot does, it creates a new key pair for every renewal, actually. So you get a fresh key every time it gets renewed, which is basically after 60 days.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thanks.
Ah,
one. Sorry.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a lo-fi kind of music.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I also had a problem with another, like a short domain I own. It's a 0p.fi.
You can give it to me.
No, the problem is that there's this large bank / insurance company in Finland called op.fi. And I got some really obscure emails to my domain. I had to remove the MX records, but because I don't want to have people's like personal stuff.
So did you bought the domain early or?
No.
How did you find it?
The Finnish like a registry. It's just like a, for the short dom. I just acquired a few short domains because they're short. But the op/0p is like a. It's. I can see why it's hard for people because the O and zero are right next to each other and look a bit alike. Sorry? I contacted their security team about that, yeah. So I really hope they don't, but I don't know. I don't... Yeah. Okay. Thank you. If you have some questions like a pop up later on, you find my contact details in 10.fi, the root sites. There are my contact details. Or just like ask if we pass by in Sha or anywhere else in the future. So thank you.